for adoption and technology for education, for occupational health, or inmate medical services, for assist, for physical plans, fire and safety, food services, A7, computer service assistance, you can dial 0 for the operator at any time. Julie.
Good morning. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we're holding a hearing, and we was wondering if you would be kind enough to transfer us to the warden's office, please.
Okay, just a moment, please.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we're holding a hearing for one of your inmates there, and we was trying to get to the medical unit, the one that would be the highest up that you could get us to, because he's on imminent danger of death, the inmate is, that is, and we don't have enough medical information on him, so we don't know whether it would be the infirmary or someone else who could assist us there to speak regarding. And the inmate's name is Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090. Thank you, ma'am. We need medical, but whatever you think would be best, but we're trying to get to his medical people.
Oh, okay, all right. We can't.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right down the street, though, not in Tucson. That somebody there might be able to find Dr. Robertson. Because that would be down the street here at the main office.
Which number is Dr. Robertson's?
Is the health office. But this will be at Tucson, the one we're getting now, I hope.
Tracy Iguara is not available. Record your message at the tone. When you're finished, email or press pound for more options.
Yes, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we were transferred to your office from the warden's office. We're just trying to get some medical information on Mr. Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090. We're holding a hearing for him for imminent danger of death, but we don't have sufficient medical information to make a determination at this time. So if you get this message within the next few moments, please give us a call back at 602-542-5656. 602-542-5656. My name is C.T. Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Thank you so very much. Looking forward to hearing from you.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we're trying to reach your medical unit, and let me tell you why we're calling. We were trying to reach Dr. Robinson, and we're getting his voicemail, but at the moment we are conducting a hearing for one of the inmates, Mr. Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090, and we don't have sufficient information, medical information, to make a decision. So we thought that maybe there might be someone that you could transfer us to, or you could get us in contact with Dr. Robinson, however you would see fit, so that we could see if we could get additional information at this time. Thank you.
We'll find him.
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we are holding a hearing at this time, IDD hearing, for Mr. Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090, and we don't have sufficient medical information. We've tried to contact Dr. Robinson, but we're getting a voicemail there, and we're just trying to see if you might be able to assist us in finding Dr. Robinson or someone who might be able to provide the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency with some medical information.
So when is the hearing?
The hearing is being conducted at this very moment, and we're coming towards the end of it, but we don't have sufficient medical information.
Okay, and the ADC number is 285090?
That is correct.
Okay. What's the inmate's last name?
Nelson, yeah. N-E-L-S-O-N.
Where's he out of? What facility?
He's down in Tucson at which one?
Westone
at Tucson.
What's your name?
C.T. Wright. I'm chairman of the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency.
Can I get your phone number?
The main number here is 602-542-5656.
Okay. I'm going to get a hold of Dr. Robertson, and I'll have him call you.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. The board, we're going to recess, I'm going to say, until we hear back from Dr. Robinson. I won't put a time on it, but if we haven't heard back from him in about 5 minutes, then the board is going to move forward with the hearing. The board is in recess now for at least 5 minutes. Thank you.
Do I stop the recording? We have no medical. Thank you.
Yeah, this is C.T. Wright. How are you doing this morning? I'm okay. We're on recess at the moment. We're trying to get in contact with Dr. Robertson. And, of course, we've been getting a voicemail, but someone's trying to run him down for us. But if he should call back or someone from his office, would you get him in contact with the board as soon as possible? We're on a 5 minutes recess now. Thank you so very much. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Yes, ma'am. This is C.T. Wright. How are you doing this time? Okay, now I have a little situation here. We are holding an imminent danger of death hearing for Mr. Robertson, who's an inmate, and we don't have enough medical information to make a determination at this point. We have a calling in to the medical person at the prison. But we haven't been able to find anyone there who can assist us, and we don't. That's all the information that we have, and that's an unfortunate situation. And I just wanted to touch bases with you to see if there's anything else that we can do to move forward, or what would be your recommendation if we can't get any information. Okay. And what was that about compliance? I just want to write that down. You said, okay, well, thank you so very much. You always are so helpful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
to be her name, I think. And last night, we had a whole report coming down at this time. I don't even, I mean, I guess this is done by a medical person, but... Who, Nick Salyer?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a cell.
Okay, the 5 minutes is up now. Therefore, the board is back in session. Based upon my consulting with our legal attorney, I wish to go on the record, and this is my decision. This is not her decision. I'm making this decision. We're going to continue this hearing until Monday of next week, and at that time, the board will be requesting that we have medical information provided to the board at that time. We don't know what time that this will take place on Monday of next week.
Monday's a holiday.
Tuesday of next week. I apologize. Thank you. Tuesday of next week. See, I don't think about holidays. Tuesday. Thank you. Tuesday of next week. The board will, this hearing is continued until Tuesday of next week. Don't come Monday, because Monday is a holiday. Tuesday of next week. And we will be requesting that the medical staff would provide us with some information from the Department of Corrections. And, sir, Mr. Nelson, if you have any further information that you can share with the board on Tuesday of next week, we would receive that as well. But this hearing will be continued until Tuesday of next week. Do we all understand this decision?
This decision has been made.
The hearing is continued now until Tuesday of next week. And for those supporters, if you would continue to check with our office, so that you can get the time, or maybe we got something now. Let me see if we have anything now. Otherwise, we will, maybe I can retract what I just said, but let me check just 1 second to make sure that. And what's she saying? Okay. Okay, I'll give them a call. Okay, thank you. So just for the record, just ignore what I said until I make this call, and then we'll see what happens. Yes, sir. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we understand that you may be the medical professional, the MD, who's working with inmate Robert M. Nelson, ADC number 285090. And we're in the midst of his hearing. We was about to continue it, but now we have you. We want to see if you could provide us with some information regarding the health condition. And I'm going to turn the board hearing back over to my distinguished colleague, and that will be the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. So she will continue the hearing at this time, sir.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, everyone, for following me. Thank you, Honorable Rittenhouse, for.
Thank you. All right, sir. Could we just start? Could you please state your name for us? And I may need to get a spelling on your last name.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. It's absolutely outstanding. I-A-Y-O-E-E-E-E-J.
Okay, I think I got it, sir. Thank you. And what's your title there, sir?
I'm the regional medical director for Horizon Arizona Contract.
Okay, regional medical director for Horizon. Sorry, I'm writing some notes down, sir. And what's you're an MD? Is that your?
No, DO, MBA.
DO, okay, gotcha. Okay. Just want to clarify because we'll need that information in our report to the governor. And what's your relationship? Are you the direct provider to Mr. Nelson, or you supervise his direct?
I've been following him, so I manage the provider for the whole contract.
Okay.
So we have patients of the painters that go out to the hospital or emergency room. I used to review all cases.
Okay. So it would be safe to say you're very familiar with his condition.
I would say so, yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, could you describe, I mean, none of us are medical doctors. We've got, in the room with us, we have his family, some family representatives, and the members of the board, none of whom are medical doctors. So could you tell us a summary of, you know, kind of his condition and then end with a prognosis?
Not a problem. So I will tell you the three ways in terms of
thank you.
A lot of people in the that may not have a clinical background, but Mr. Nelson, there's a 55-year-old called Nathan Bell. He has a history of hepatitis C, in which he developed cirrhosis, and therefore has transitioned to hepatocellular carcinoma, which is the liver cancer that's associated with hepatitis C. He also has a history of a heart attack. He has a history of what we call a gastrointestinal bleed, or having bleeding from the esophagus and or the abdomen. He has hypothyroidism, has low functioning thyroid. Has hypertension. He has, and because of his liver disease, there's a pathway that you can accumulate fluid in the abdominal area, which requires you to have a procedure called a keratoconus. And with the pathway that they actually consider to be legal into the abdomen, and they remove fluid, this allows the patient to not have issues with complications with shortness of breath. As you accumulate fluid in the abdomen, it starts to make it a little bit more difficult for patients with this diagnosis to have be able to breathe. So therefore, patients with progressive liver disease, specifically with cirrhosis, tend to have procedures of this nature, which can then increase the risk of infection. He's been hospitalized on several occasions, in which there have been concerns about his prognosis of his hepatocellular carcinoma. At this point, there is no medication that cures this disease at this point. Usually the cure is to actually have a liver transplant, which is something that's a little bit difficult to achieve not only in the community, but even more difficult in the correction sector. There's a lot of treatment that you have to go through, and unfortunately there's not as many livers available as individuals that need liver transplant. He has been followed by several specialists, and this has been followed by a regional policy who is involved with kind of providing some type of plan to assist with palliative care, meaning not to let him intermediate to treat the cancer, but to actually try to slow it down to give him a better quality of life. His cancer is terminal at this point. He's been given a life expectancy of less than 6 months. There's actually been documentation that he has more than half a month expectancy of life expectancy. He is starting to become more protective or more very thin in nature, with again having the abdominal swelling, which we have to do various. Again, which increases the risk of infection. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that you would need to know or anything specific?
Doctor, about how often does he have to have the fluids extracted?
So typically, he would have to go, he would have to leave our facility. He typically would either go to the emergency room. Sometimes, I will be very honest with you, Honorable right now, with my colleagues, the emergency room sometimes don't like doing, they will call it therapeutic tap versus diagnostic tap. A therapeutic tap is one in which we're trying to relieve the fluid from, like I mentioned, they place kind of like a catheter inside the abdomen, and what ends up happening is they drain out, it looks like a straw-colored fluid called serous fluid, which is the fluid that the organs float in your body.
Right.
Well, that fluid accumulates because of just the disease process with the liver cirrhosis. So what ends up happening is that can occur every 3 to 4 days sometimes, depending on how much fluid is accumulating in a certain period of time. We typically try to place patients with this type of issue on a water pill to remove water through the urinary system.
Right.
Then what we also do is we give them a medication called Lactulose or Rifaximin to actually have them remove water through the colon system or through the gastrointestinal tract. The problem that we have is that when you're not able to get rid of the fluid, sometimes you have a agent called ammonia, that actually accumulates in the system. It can become toxic. Mm-hmm. And what it does is that it causes encephalopathy, which basically causes confusion. And they're not able to take care of themselves. They're not able to perform their activities to get a living, which we call EDL. And they tend to become very difficult because you don't know, is it due to liver disease or is it due to something else? So those patients typically go out to the ER. So they can be frequent flyers to the ER. And to get back to the point of the reason why my ER colleagues are a little bit difficult is because every time you place that catheter in the abdomen, you're actually increasing the risk of that patient having a diagnosis called bacterial peritonitis.
Right, right.
So if that becomes a concern, and what ends up happening is that they end up developing that concern and being hospitalized for different bacteria that you treated via IV antibiotics.
Right. Okay,
so,
sir.
Kind of that particular portion of his care in a nutshell.
So, doctor, if Mr. Nelson were to go out and then have hospice care, would hospice provide that service?
Probably not.
No. So he would have to be...
When you go to hospice, you're basically saying we're going to provide you with proper care. The expectation, I hate to sound morbid, but the expectation is that you're going to pass away. And if you talk with different people that manage hospice care centers, I worked with them when I was a positive practice in the hospital, their expectation is that it's a transition period. And it also depends if you're going to a hospice center versus having hospice at your house. The assumption is that when they're preparing you to give you proper care as you transition to the inevitable, which is, you know,
So it's likely, sir, that he would need to be transported somewhere for this. If he were on, say, on hospice in a home, he would need to be taken somewhere.
That will be a possibility. It would, you know, every hospice has different options. Some only have, you know, ambulatory services for the home.
Okay.
So that would depend on the actual hospice.
And, sir, would he need any sort of special transport, or could he just ride in a regular vehicle? Would he need an ambulance to take
him? I would probably do a non-emergent EMS, just to be sure. But if it's a short distance, I would say an hour or two, I don't think that would be a major issue, especially if he had a recent cath. We could probably get him stable enough to endure a couple hours, if not. I've always been under the practice of a non-emergent company, and they have those services out there.
Right. Okay. I'm going to see if we have any questions for you. It looks like Mr. Quinones does.
Hopefully, I've not used a lot of doctor terms, and everyone's understanding.
No, I think you're doing very well. So, Mr. Quinones does have a question, though.
Thank you, Madam Lead. Doctor, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you very clearly.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for all your support today. I do have a question. Hopefully it's not too challenging, but if Mr. Nelson had a transplant match from his family, what would DOC's action plan be? Let's just say it was a year ago, and a liver transplant was an option. Would DOC follow him through that transplant if he had a match?
That is a challenge. Tricky question. I will tell you this. I am new to the Arizona contract prior to coming here. I manage the hospital for the Department of Corrections in Florida. So this question came up a lot. I will tell you the challenge, to be honest, but not necessarily the DOC. It would be the individuals at the hospital. I hate to tell you this, and my parents, and I'm just going to preface my next statement with this, I have found it very challenging to receive approval for a surgeon to do that procedure when a patient is incarcerated. In many instances, we've gone through this process before. I've gone through this process many times in Florida, and typically, I was able to get a better outcome when the surgeon and the other transplant team felt that they had a little bit more autonomy with the patient and not having to have the DOC as a middleman. I hate to say it that way. So in many instances, I have more of an issue with getting someone to adhere to moving forward with the process when there was a match.
Okay, my follow-up question is, can he still be treated outside of the Department of Corrections as a potential liver transplant patient?
Mm-hmm.
At this stage of his cancer, is he still eligible for a transplant, or maybe eligible is the wrong word, but is transplant still a possibility for him outside of the Department of Corrections?
I would say that is a chance. As I'm reading the radiology notes and kind of reviewing his case, I'll be very honest, that is a very timely process. That is not something that it will move pretty quickly in this day and age. I'm sure that in certain communities it does, but I will tell you, this probably as the process is going, I cannot foresee, and this is my opinion again, my medical opinion only, but my experience, I could not imagine this occurring before his system starts to break down. Because as I mentioned, he has other comorbidities besides the liver cancer, hepatitis C and cirrhosis.
Thank you, sir. And I want to thank you for giving such a detailed response and helping me as one voting board member to make an informed decision. Thank you, Doctor.
Not a problem. This is, this is my job, and I want to make sure that you guys get all the time necessary to make the appropriate decision, whatever that happens to be. So, I can understand. I thank you for just for asking the questions and being open to it.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
Are there any other questions at all?
Let's see. Mr. Johnson has a question for you, sir.
Okay.
Sir, in the information that he has, it says that the tumor has developed to a large size, the cancer rather has gotten to a large size due to the size in this location. He is not a candidate for surgery, or he wouldn't be a good candidate.
I don't understand this question. I can barely hear you. I think I heard children and a couple other words, but I can't really decipher everything. I want to make sure that I give you an appropriate answer. I can barely hear you.
All right, I'm going to try a little bit better. I'm fighting with my allergies too, so.
No problem. It's that easy.
So basically, if he was released, he wouldn't be a candidate for a liver transplant because of the size of it. Is that right?
I think if I heard the question correctly, I'm strange, but I need to make sure I heard it correctly. I think the question I heard was, if he were to be released, would he be a candidate or would he receive a liver transplant? Is that what you asked?
Well, and what I'm reading, yes, basically, would he be eligible, or is the cancer too large for him to receive it?
I will be honest.
I think the disease process is so progressive that I don't think that a surgeon or transplant team would think that he would be able to, because he would have to go through a cardiac clearance with his history of cardiac disease or heart disease. I would be very shocked if there was a transplant team that would look at his medical records and think that he would be an ideal candidate for liver transplant. I know that's very difficult for the family to hear because I know they're listening, but I would find it very, I would be surprised if there was a team out there that would be that cavalier with all of the different information they have. If you have a ton of information to hospitalize me on, that he will be considered an ideal candidate for a liver transplant. That would be my medical opinion.
Okay, thank you, sir.
No problem.
Any other questions from board members? Dr. Wright has a question for you, sir.
Thank you so much, doctor, for participating today. And my questions will go in a couple of directions. One is, welcome to the state of Arizona from the state of Florida. We're glad to have you out here. We're glad to have you out here in the greatest state in the United States of America. So welcome again to Arizona. Okay.
I'll let you know after the summertime.
Yes. Yes, sir. Well, when it gets up to 122, then you can let me know, sir. Okay, doctor. You may not be able to answer this because you are new, relatively new to the state. That means that you would be relatively new with the process here. I am, and this is not to be critical of DOC, of the Board of Executive Clemency, or your office is not asking that sense. But do you know why this board was not given additional information, medical information regarding Mr. Nelson prior to our getting in contact with you this morning? The reason I ask that, it took us over an hour and a half to find you, sir, with the hearing going on this morning. In addition to that, we have wonderful information that you provided, and I really appreciate that, but we still don't have anything. We didn't have anything in writing. We had one page in writing, and I was just wondering, did something go wrong, or do you have a feel for why this happened, sir?
I'll be very honest with you. I think you kind of answered the question for me. I'm really not sure, why there was information that was given to you. I don't know if I'm able to answer that question, to be honest. And, of course, I feel bad saying that. I don't know why.
Okay, sir. I just wanted to ask that on record. Okay. My next question is, and I apologize to the family for the family being in the room for this, by asking this particular question. And I know you were not here. But just based on anything that you might tell me, and it's based on a question that the Honorable Mr. Johnson asked before you came on the phone, I believe it was Mr. Johnson. Back in 2016, we had a written report when Mr. Nelson came before this board before, initially asking for a imminent danger of death clemency hearing. And this board at that time moved it to a phase one hearing, but he was not recommended at that point to the governor. But the information that we had at that time was, and forgive my terminology, this is very non-medical, at that time an MD had put in writing that he should have demised in less than a year. And this was 2016, and now this is 2018, and he's still here. That kind of information. I know none of us know when any of us are going to leave, going to die. That's for sure. But to be off by 2 years, I'm just wondering if something went wrong there, sir.
No, and I will tell you that that question comes up a lot. I will tell you again. I've asked oncology. I've asked doctors that are in the field of giving a timeline of the estimated life expectancy. And typically, if you were to ask probably 10 specialists looking at his medical records, not ever meeting him, and just kind of evaluating based upon clinical data, you would probably get 10 different answers. And the way I think most people in the field, the term of life expectancy is a very delicate question to answer. I think it may not leave you their personal experiences based upon certain illnesses or diagnoses. And then they look at the different treatment plans and they kind of think on exactly how long at a person with this diagnosis and this staging, where typically would, not just going to throw out there, out of 100 people, how many people out of 100 people would live for this period of time? I was always taught in medical school, you know, and even in residency, and further training, and that's the for a person with a diagnosis, but you could either, you know, have life expectancy shorter than this or longer than this. I've had patients that have had pancreatic cancer. The common knowledge is sort of that for patients, and it's immediately that pancreatic is a very bad type of cancer. It has a very poor prognosis. And it does. So there are people that have patients, there's literature that demonstrates that people want to support them a little longer. So I answered your question. Yeah, life expectancy is 2.5 months. But sometimes with some of these procedures that we do, sometimes with the palliative care regimen, they could exceed that. Like as you mentioned, there's no one that can give you a detailed date or time that they the person would have, you know, that would marry that or expiration. So a million times you will never hear someone state on record that the person has diagnosed cancer. And I think a lot of times we don't, as the medical community, we don't stress that enough that it's an accident. But you can go over or below that time to the life expectancy. But for the most part, typically, we look at the diagnosis patient to come with a plan. And then if you have any other comorbidities.
Okay. So let me just ask another question, sir. Okay, now we, if I understood it correct, this is non-medical, that if he were to leave the Department of Corrections and would reside with his family members, and if he had to go, you know, to the emergency or whatever, let's say, two or three times a week or two or three times a month, how would that work out? He's on the outside now. He's not your concern anymore. I mean, would that be, based on your experience, would that be feasible? What happens there, sir?
Okay, well, first, can I actually make a statement? One of the things that I always like to say is that the regardless of the community, academia, media, my practice has changed. And that bill that I took when I graduated from school, and that's the only way I will practice. So my interfere with every time of month. So I want to make sure that's a good place. And I don't need anything to offend me. I like to make sure that that's on record, one. Number two, there are people, unfortunately, that have cirrhosis not only from pregnancy, but they can have it from alcohol, they can have it from substance abuse. So individuals that have this type of concern, unfortunately, in many instances, they may frequent the emergency room a great deal. Sometimes once they get to the emergency room, ER doc will be there. They may have gastroenterology, which is the profession that manages the type of care you see a specialty of hepatology, which is still under the guise of hepatology, gastroenterology, specialty. They will then sometimes have that patient see, and they will then coordinate relationships with the patient and the actual specialist. And then, once that relationship has been set, the patient will then go to the office and they can describe as a therapy pack or a therapy system. So they have that kind of system of part on the plate. So there's a myriad of things that so ER is the expectation person. The ER may be there's a CPC. Or you might see someone transition to developing a relationship with the ER doctor, the neurologist doctor, to have more frequent visits. What I would advise my patient, my family member, it would be to, that they are going to go to the ER, to go to a place that's an accident center, a place that has a kind of one-stop shop with all the stuff that's there. Our problem would not represent a city hospital, or a hospital that doesn't have all of the amenities or structures that we typically have. So it would be a place that we don't have a medical school or a lot of research based care. So that would be my advice directly for that family and for patient and their next step as they're leaving the facility. Now you think you have the conversation with that.
Thank you so much, Doctor, and we really appreciate you taking the time this morning. Thank you so much, Madam Lee.
No, thank you. Hope you feel better without.
That's the other gentleman, but I'm catching heels as well.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we're all. Any other questions from board members? Okay, thank you. So, Doctor, we'll continue with our hearing. You're welcome to stay on the line if you like, or go on about your busy day if you like.
I have
All right, sir. Well, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much, sir. All right. Thank you.
Everyone have a lovely day. Take care.
So, to continue the hearing, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, ma'am.
We're coming toward the end of your hearing, and I just want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the board that you haven't already told us?
No, ma'am. I'm clean and sober, and I have found Jesus, and I just want to deal with my kids in my last few days.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you.
I know if I have to go 3 or 4 times a week, I will be provided with a ride. And if it comes to be too much, then I'll be in the hospice at home.
Okay, sir. Thank you. The board is going to go into discussion now. We do all of our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we haven't discussed your case before right now. So what we'll do is we're gonna talk among ourselves, and we just ask that you stay on the phone and just remain silent and the same to everyone in the room. So thank you so much. So the board is now in discussion. Mr. Nelson is we've had the testimony from his doctor, and Mr. Nelson, it does appear it's truly an IDD situation this time. He would probably, in the doctor's estimation, not be a good candidate for a liver transplant because of the other conditions he has. The doctor specifically mentioned the heart situation since he's had a heart attack. And I believe he's had a massive heart attack, so it was a serious condition. So I am... based on everything we've heard today, the family is willing to have him come and live there or make whatever arrangements are necessary for transporting him, taking him to medical appointments, and et cetera. I'm leaning toward recommending that we, recommend that we pass him to the governor's office for further consideration, but I would listen to any other input from board members. Mr. Quinones?
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Let me say, and I'll keep it short, fundamentally I agree with you, and I guess I do want to say that I have not heard a lot from Mr. Nelson today in the way of remorse and almost a little bit of victimization, but we're confronted with the business of mercy, and I believe that we have sufficient information to make it.
To pass that on.
To pass it along.
Any other comments? Mr. Johnson?
I agree. I just have, and I don't think he's capable of driving, so that was my major concern, that he gets out and drive and resulting in someone getting injured as a result of him driving, but I don't think he's capable of driving, at least according to what he says. So that's a major issue, especially with the illness that he has, that he does not get out there and drive and someone else become victimized.
Right. Good point. Okay. Mr. Neal?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
personal experience. I understand the prognosis. I don't want to say unreliable, but they are unpredictable. And a few years ago, one might have had things apparently changed, and they can change. But we're only in November of 2016 when we thought about this. And we're not even here a year and a half further down the road.
Right. And Dr. Wright?
Yes, ma'am. I think that one has to search his or her own conscience in making a decision whether or not to make a recommendation to the governor as it relates to a situation like this. I found several things of concern of mine, and one is already, and I don't want to go over it, is mentioned by Honorable Skowanis, and that is the lack of remorse that I've heard today. And I think that much of what has happened as it relates to Mr. Nelson over the years was something that he brought on himself, and that was through the use of alcohol. Not one time, not two times, not three times, but four times. That really concerns me. I'm also concerned when one has to come back after an MD, I'm assuming it was an MD, that said that you have less than a year, year and a half to survive, and still here. No one can predict it. But that gives me some concerns. I also have some concerns of his being able to have that transportation. I recognize the family, and I appreciate the family and their commitment that they've made to Mr. Nelson, but I still have some reservations, only as one board member at this time. That's all I'm going to say at this time. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Any other comments, final comments? Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion then that we do recommend commutation phase two based on imminent danger of death, that we do recommend that to the governor, but I would add, and that our recommendation be time served with community supervision to remain intact as mandated by the court, but that we also make a statement there'll be absolutely no driving of a motor vehicle. And that would be my recommendation, or my motion, I'm sorry. Mr. Neal, you seconded? Okay, Mr. Johnson agreed.
I agree with the concerns that I mentioned.
With the concerns, right. Okay, and Dr. Wright?
Based upon my statement that I made before, I must disagree.
You disagree.
Respectfully.
Okay. Yeah, I understood. Okay, now I want to make sure that I write this correctly. Okay, so we're going to recommend to the governor, but we're going to recommend time served with community supervision to remain intact as mandated by the court. Hopefully they can read my writing. As mandated by the court with absolutely no, whether or not he can do it, absolutely no driving or operation of a motor vehicle. A motor vehicle. Okay. Got it. All right, Mr. Nelson?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you heard the board's discussion, and the board is going to recommend that to the governor, that the governor consider a commutation of your sentence with time served, okay, and with the community supervision will remain intact, so you still be on probation, and absolutely,
yes,
no operation of a motor vehicle. Absolutely.
Yes. I also wanted to add, I am very sorry for what I've done to myself, my family, and everyone else.
Okay, so thank you.
I was kind of doing the wrong road.
Thank you.
And I would not ever drive again.
All right. Well, that is a mandatory condition here. So the governor will have some time to make a decision, and then you'll be notified. And Dr. Wright, I'm not sure what's our timetable. We have a few days to get it to the governor.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say 5 working days that we would get, since we have this holiday coming.
Oh, we do.
To get it to the governor, and also since the vote was not unanimous, the governor will make that his decision at his own time,
on
and
his
not
time.
That of the board.
Right. Okay, so that, I believe, can conclude the hearing at,
yes,
this
ma'am,
point. Okay, so this hearing is concluded. And thank you all for participating.
I'm sorry. I need to appoint someone to write the letter, and I'm going to see
glad
if
you remember that.
Mr. Johnson or Mr. Neal, which one of you would like to do it this time? Does that mean that you're not volunteering then, sir?
I guess I'll be.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal is volunteering to do it, and he will have 5 working days to get over for us, for the board, to get it over to the governor. Thank
All
you
right.
so very much.
Thank you, and now that concludes the hearing, and we want to thank everyone for being with us today. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Nelson.
You very-
if you'd give the-